This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brandon. Now to wild hair, crazy clothes, and murder.
Wait a minute. I never murdered anybody.
But you are wearing those purple UGG boots. Phil Spector, the music producer who created the legendary Wall of Sound, is on trial here in Los Angeles. He is not expected to testify in the murder trial, and he almost never talks to the media. But just weeks before the incident, he spoke candidly to a journalist about his mental state.
Manic, depressive, bipolar. I take medication for schizophrenia, but I wouldn't say I'm schizophrenic.
Right.
But I would say that I have a bipolar personality that is strange. I have devils inside that fight me, and I'm my own worst enemy. And for all intents and purposes, I'd say I'm probably relatively insane to an extent.
Phil Spector describing himself on a recording made by journalist Mick Brown 4 years ago. It was 2 months before Lana Clarkson, the actress, was found shot to death at Spector's mansion. Spector is accused of killing her. His lawyers say she shot herself with one of Spector's guns. Well, Mick Brown is here. He has covered much of Spector's murder trial, and he's also written a new book about his conversations with Phil Spector. Welcome to the program, Mick Brown.
Thank you, Madeline.
That clip, well, it's an incredibly riveting, amazing tape. How did the subject come up?
Almost as soon as I sat down with Phil Spector, he started to talk about his mental state. One of the first things he said to me was, I haven't been well. I've been crippled inside. But I think there's a background to this, and if I could just give the background for a moment. Spector hadn't given a major interview in something like 25 years, and I managed to get an interview and went to the castle in Alhambra where Lana Clarkson was subsequently shot dead. But I think one of the reasons he did speak so candidly was that he was talking about them very much in the past tense. And he felt that, I think, that he'd overcome these difficulties now, that they were in the past, they were behind him. And the other thing that he kept emphasizing to me was, but now I just want to be a reasonable man. I'm trying to be a reasonable man. And that was a phrase that he kept using throughout our conversation, talking about his determination to be a reasonable man, which really makes what happened on February the 3rd, just a couple of months later, all the more tragic and ironic, I think.
What was it like in his mansion, in that place that's been described as kind of gothic?
Yes. As I was waiting, he had classical music was sort of percolating throughout the house. And by coincidence, I'm sure, but he actually came down the stairs to the strains of Handel. This extraordinary-looking figure dressed in black silk pajama suit with PS monogrammed in silver on the chest, blue-tinted glasses, this extraordinary curled Louis the 15th wig, and these 3-inch Cuban heel boots. So he looked utterly bizarre. At the same time, magnificent in a very peculiar way.
And did you call him Mr. Spector?
I did call him Mr. Spector. I said, I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Spector. But then we sat down, and he couldn't have been more charming or more hospitable.
And this is a man who was in the twilight of his career, to put it gently. He hadn't had a hit in a long, long time.
There had been an attempt to make a comeback of sorts, but you're quite right that he hadn't actually completed an album since the 1970s when he made an album with the Ramones.
And that was legendarily a very contentious recording session, also involving guns.
Yes, well, unfortunately, pretty much all of the records that Spector made through the 1970s were highly controversial, and all of them involved guns. You know, he was drinking very heavily. He wasn't a man in control of himself. And guns had become very much a permanent fixture around the world of Phil Spector. He would wear guns around the house. He'd even wear guns when he was making telephone calls to record executives in order to give himself a bit of an edge over them, it seemed, on the telephone. He'd very often pull guns. I think Spector would see his gun play as a joke. An associate of his, Jack Nitzsche, who was the arranger on all of Spector's great hits through the 1960s, I was told that Nitzsche once asked Phil Spector, Phil, you know, I hear about you pulling guns on John Leonard, Leonard Cohen, I hear about you pulling guns on the Ramones, what's it all about? And Spector replied to him, you know, Jack, none of these people have the same sense of humor that I do.
Yeah, now not so funny.
No.
And I'm wondering, I mean, did you get a sense from him that, you know, the humor had kind of, well, had evaporated to a certain extent, leaving behind a man who was a tragic figure, a pathetic figure?
Yes, I did in a way. And I also got a sense that Spector himself regretted the way that he behaved. You know, there was an element of remorse in his conversation. You know, he said to me at one point, he said, you know, a lot of people envy me, a lot of people want to be like Phil Spector. Believe me, you would not want my life. My life has not been a happy life.
Let's listen to another piece of your interview, which I found revealing in terms of his character and what kind of person he is.
I don't play if I can't win. So when I was a kid, everybody used to get ecstatic winning at Monopoly. Everybody used to get ecstatic winning at Scrabble. So I just figured out, if it's all about winning, I would just went out and bought another Monopoly game, took all the money and hid it in my pocket, and then go to people's houses and play Monopoly game and just always add an extra 100, always add an extra 10, and I'd win every time.
Shameless, completely shameless.
So if you can't win, I don't want to play. Now, I'm not like Vince Lombardi. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. But what's so f***ing fun about losing? You know, where's the joy in that, you know? The breakfast of champions is the opposition.
We're speaking with Mick Brown, author of the new book, Tearing Down the Wall of Sound, The Rise and Fall of Phil Spector. And Mick Brown, what does that tell you about who Phil Spector is?
Well, I think there's a lot of braggadocio in that statement that Spector's making. You know, he likes to sort of act out and play the part of Phil Spector. The real key to understanding Spector's personality and his character is the family background. His father, Ben, killed himself when Phil was 9 years of age, and he was left to be brought up by an incredibly domineering, by all accounts, mother, a sister who was equally domineering and equally smothering. One friend described them as like a tag team who were always on his case. The sister subsequently went on to have mental troubles herself and was institutionalized. So I think Spector's childhood was miserable. It was a very, very unhappy childhood. The family moved from New York shortly after his father's death, came to Los Angeles. He was a small, scrawny, put-upon child. He was an outcast at school, a social isolate at school. 10 years after he left high school, there was a high school reunion, and Spector was the only person to turn up with his bodyguards. And he took a table at the back of the hall with his bodyguards, blocking anybody coming close to him. And an old classmate subsequently interviewed Spector about this and said, what was all of this about? And Spector told him, I wanted you to know how I felt. You know, I wanted you to get as close to me as I felt close to you when I was at school. In other words, it was payback time. And a lot of, I think, Spector's psychology has been about revenge. It's revenge for being the outcast. It's revenge for being the small, nerdy outsider. And he had this one gift, this one priceless gift, which was a musical ability. And he was able to use this gift and to create out of this gift these extraordinary records, these grandiloquent dreams of romance and love and escape, and fling those back into the face of the world. It was flinging them at his mother, flinging them at his father who killed himself, flinging it at the kids who wouldn't talk to him at school, flinging it at the record industry who thought he was a madman. These records were Spector's revenge.
Mick Brown, he's the author of the new book. It's out today. It's called Tearing Down the Wall of Sound, The Rise and Fall of Phil Spector. Mick Brown, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
To hear more of that interview Mick Brown did with Phil Spector, go to our website, npr.org.
He's a rebel cause he never, never does what